We'll log another edition of the Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this week's Rain Report. On the fourth weekend of June each year, hundreds of stateside radio clubs and more than 35,000 ham operators contend with summer heat and humidity, coupled with ravenous flying and crawling critters of all kinds, during an exercise called Field Day. In this Field Day 101 series, we've covered various aspects of this crazy weekend. We haven't considered the role VHF and UHF communications play. We'll hear some details from Kermit Carlson, W9XA, ARRL Central Division Vice Director.
As a young man from suburbs of Chicago, I actually got started in amateur radio, basically listening to the guys on the two-meter repeater back in 1967, and soon got interested in pretty much just FM. It was a quick trip to a Field Day site and suddenly took a love to CW and a few other things. The exposure and the opportunities that Field Day presents are just absolutely amazing. One of the things that's changing is we as amateurs really have to be sure that we use the resources we have, VHF being one of them. And the only way we're going to do that is get more people on the radio. Interesting. How do you turn people into avid or rabid VHF operators? Well, as Mark can tell you, it's an infectious disease. It's hard to shed once you catch it. It's almost like getting bed bug bites. You suddenly realize you've got it. And what you need to do is look at your Field Day operation. I've been a part of Field Day operations that have always had Class A operation, usually with at least one or two VHF bands. How can you save 420 to 450? You can actually get on the air during Field Day. And the ARRL has a new rule this year, just takes effect, that will help you do that. A lot of people, although Field Day is not a contest, Dan, it's an operating event, but there's always this, are we in the 4-alpha category, or are we going to be in the 3-alpha category? And if you're a VHFer, you're probably the guy that's going to find the hard argument why we should change our category and class. And that's now not a problem, because starting this year, you get a free VHF station. Unfortunately, it doesn't come with a coupon that redeems for a 6-meter four-element beam and a couple hundred watts. But what it does give you is, if you're a Class A or Class F operation, you can put up a VHF station without having it count as a transmitter against your transmitter class. And the whole purpose here is for people to be able to experience VHF operation. And let me explain. If there's a lot of us out there that have HF rigs with an extra spigot on the back and that upper band that nobody quite knows what to do with. And if you look in your local club, by and large, you're going to find somebody that is like Mark and I and kind of addicted to 6 meters. We'll be sitting there at 51.25, especially during the summer months, listening to the roaring hiss of nothingness, when suddenly the guys from South Carolina are barreling in and they're stronger than the local 5 miles away. And that's your e-skip. That's absolutely a blast on 6 meters. If you've never experienced it, Field Day is an excellent time to do that. You go out and you put up maybe just a 3-element beam, maybe not even 50 or 100 watts. Try to pay attention to, the safety aspect. You don't need this antenna to be 30, 50 feet in the air. You're operating portable. You're operating in the field. Now, for those of us that are into VHF contesting, we go out 2 weeks before and we give it the old college try with the kilowatts, the moon bounce arrays pointed at the horizon, and we call that the June VHF contest. So that having been said and done 2 weeks before, we're out to have fun. And that's the whole part of it, because you can, as a mentor, sit there and have people that have never seen 6 meters come alive. And let me tell you, when that really gets going, then you can show them that 2 meters will do the same thing. You don't need stacked set of four Yagis pointed to the horizon to work, well, from South Carolina to Chicago. When the band is open, you need anything that radiates just a little bit better than a rubber duck, preferably a directive antenna, or at least directive by design, 20-30 watts. So it's really possible to start introducing people to the fantastic world of VHF starting right at noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's when things are going to be hopping, just about till 6 or 7 at night. Now, quite often in this high e-skip period, going in June, July, and sometimes into August, we can actually see some pretty good 2 meter openings as late as 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And then the funny thing happens. You can encounter the next step in VHF operation. You see, it's not like saying I'm a 40 CW operator where you operate one band, or 160 meter operator where you're actually operating one band, but you've got a half dozen antennas to make it work. And by the way, 160 meters is a lot like VHF, but VHF doesn't have usually as much static crashes, so it's a lot more fun. And I urge you to give it a try. What you do is, because there's a lot of people in your club, I'm sure that everybody's been exposed to 2 meter FM and repeaters. Well, for VHF and field day, you don't count the repeater contacts. You can use FM, but I really urge you to get out there if you're a VHF operator and mentor people in how to operate 6 meters and 2 meters. And as you get towards the evening, about 8 or 9 o'clock, the propagation actually might start to improve dramatically on 2 meters, 220, and 432. Very rarely do we find people actually operating 1296, but there are those of us that have actually done that. And the odd, interesting thing about VHF operation is you don't just operate one band. You can actually get 4 or 5 stations going. And there's nothing in the rules that say that you have to operate 6 meters or 2 meters or 220. You can operate all of them in parallel. And here again, you don't need to worry about putting those antennas too high. A lot of times the propagation will do the heavy lifting.
You're listening to some thoughts from ARRL Central Division Vice Director Kermit Carlson, W9XA, about the usefulness and fun of setting up a VHF-UHF station at Field Day, the most memorable and, yes, fun 24 hours of the year, the fourth weekend of June. We'll conclude this excerpt from Kermit's 2011 Dayton Hamvention ARRL Field Day talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report, now as close as your ear thanks to Twitter. Go to twitter.com/TheRainReport.
It's nice to be able to find a site that's high. It's nice to be able to put up antennas on a 60-foot tower. It's not necessarily what you're going to find. The optimum solution is going to be put up something that works. It's very simple to do that. Here's the point I've got, is recruit experienced VHF operators as the mentors. Don't let somebody flounder around on the radio trying to make contacts on 6 meters at 50.150 if the band is closed. He's going to want a little bit of help figuring out where to spin the dial. And the other part of it is you may not actually need to spin the dial. Sit pretty close to the calling frequency and you'll be ready when it hits. You'll be surprised the number of people that have never seen 2 meters work without a repeater or without FM. And suddenly they'll realize that with a sideband signal, a couple element beam and 50 watts, they can talk to the next state. Whereas they've never seen a repeater come in except for those, you know, odd conditions. And I suggest that, you know, as a mentor, you take the attitude that you're really going to go through a quick checklist. And here's just a couple of the ideas. Remember, people are going to come in and look at this VHF station. And one of the things that hopefully will intrigue them is the fact that there's some pretty strong signals coming in with a very minimal antenna. And part of the idea is they can do that too. Imagine if you can do this with 4 elements on 6 meters or 10 elements on 2 meters. And imagine what you can do when you're set up the big station at home. But this is just a rough idea of the topics to talk about. Propagation. Each one of these bands is a treasure in and of itself. It's got all kinds of unusual characteristics that you can exploit. Don't forget, you're operating VHF, so there's going to be a lot of people out there that are kind of there with Field Day, but you know, they're interested in this unusual thing called grid squares. So it may not be a bad idea to have a grid square map, because everybody's going to be exchanging that anyway along with their Field Day operation. They'll say 4 Alpha, Echo November 5-1, and the guy's going to go, what does that mean? Well, if you have a map and he can check it off or color it in, it suddenly means a lot more, because now he's not just getting a taste of VHF and Field Day. He's really getting the taste for what it's like to go grid square hunting, another passion that the VHF operator soon finds himself well entrenched in. Operating tips. It doesn't have to be a great lesson, but that teaching moment that Mark spoke about is very important. Just small hints about how to make the contact. And one of the things that I'd like to bring up is, although FM can be used, and certainly if you have nothing else, make sure you've got an FM station on so you can exchange, you know, some information with the guys in the local area, but remember to try to use SSB and CW. And I tell you what, if we do end up with an Aurora and you have a CW operator that's kind of interested, he's going to be hooked on a rural CW, especially if he's in the northern tier of states. You know, it's a little bit rarer down to the south, but certainly in Minnesota, you can find someone in your local club that's working the Aurora pretty regularly. Try the antennas on horizontal. Get set up so you can actually work the weak signal polarization of horizontal, and try to introduce people to the idea of where they should be as far as frequencies, band plans, and my pitch, please don't sit on the DX window if possible, especially if there really is DX there. And one of the things you can also talk in terms of is working satellites. There are some great FM-only satellites, very easy to work, and I'm sorry, time does not permit in 5 minutes to tell you everything that makes VHF operating so much fun or what brought me up to this podium to tell you about it. But I can tell you that going back some 40 some odd years, that it was a couple afternoons spent on various Field Days that brought me to amateur radio that made the big difference in my interest in the hobby and promoted my particular spin on a career, if you can call it that. So I'd like to recommend you just enjoy. Go ahead and try it. It's not hard. It doesn't cost you a station. Be safe as you put up your antennas. You don't have to be that high. What you have to do is have it on the air. When you have this opportunity, make sure you have someone sitting there at the radio, because these openings sometimes only last 15 or 20 minutes. You have to be on the radio, you have to be making noise, you have to have, as we call it, headphone time. And you'll be surprised how many people will give it a try. One of my best times was working with a small club out of Bolingbrook that decided that they were going to actually build an EME array for Field Day. Never mind the fact that it wasn't at a good point in the calendar to give us good low background noise. We were able to hear a couple of pings, and that was really about it, but it was a lot of fun to do that, and it really became a rallying point for the club. Now, you don't have to go out there and do it with an EME array, but I certainly urge you to give it a try and at least put up something where you can enjoy the fruits of the VHF propagation that summertime has to offer. Certainly, you can find anybody that's a VHFer to come and give you a hand and show you a few of the ropes.
The Field Day observations of ARRL Central Division Vice Director Kermit Carlson, W9XA, excerpted from his talk given during the 2011 ARRL Field Day Forum. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2012 Rain. All rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from everyone at the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.